You know, of all the songs that we do at the Rock, personally, I like a lot of them. I love a lot of them. But Rescue is my favorite. And tonight I'm going to explain why. You may have heard this song before when you've attended the service. And maybe you've asked yourself, what's the big deal about this song? Why do they sing it? And what is the rescue all about? And why do we need Jesus to rescue us? Well, tonight's entitled, Don't Get Punked Out of Heaven. Now, for those of you that are not familiar with the term punked, because maybe you're over the age of 30, it was made famous partly by Ashton Kutcher in his reality TV show, Don't Get Punked. It means don't get made a fool of. Don't get deceived. Don't get tricked. Don't get duped. Another person that made it famous, although didn't use the exact word, was Sacha Cohen in his movie Borat. Now he's coming out with another one. And he traveled all over the United States, basically tricking very gullible people. And they ended up in the movie, and a number of people sued him, not realizing, of course, they had signed a waiver that he could use the footage in the movie. But he pretended to be this wacko journalist from Kazakhstan. Of course, there's people in the United States gullible enough to believe that. They played along and they made us all look like we're a bunch of redneck idiots. You know, a movie's one thing, but life's another. Jeremy shared with you last week the whole area of relationships and sex. And tragically, so many people's lives get not just punked, but severely damaged because of the deception and the lies and the trickery that is used on other human beings. You know, at The Rock, we're very, very serious about what we do. Now, some of you probably never been to a church like this. You probably think this, how can this even be at a church? Well, you stay around long enough, you'll understand. But I want you to imagine for just a moment that you were on the island of Galveston just a few weeks ago. I used to work on the island of Galveston. I used to work on the oil refineries there. And I want you to imagine that you've lived there most of your life. Got a house there. You've been to the ocean many times. You've been to the grocery store many times. And you've been through many storms on the island of Galveston. You've even been through a hurricane or two before. And all of a sudden, the governor comes on. All the national weather people, they tell you, this is a monster storm. Get off the island. It's a mandatory evacuation, and if you don't get off, you'll probably die. Now, you're thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, talk about an overreaction. I've been through this before. We weathered storms before. Of course, Katrina hadn't happened before, and you're kind of thinking a little bit about Katrina. And you're watching all your neighbors take off. But several thousand people decided not to listen and stay on the island of Galveston. Have you seen pictures? There is no island. Well, there's an island. There's dirt. There's sand. It won't be inhabitable for a long, long, long time. Now, there's a whole lot of people in life, a whole lot of people with very serious issues that get one warning after another, after another, after another, after another. They think the big one's never going to come. You know, I really don't know. I'm not going to get off on this tonight, but I really don't know where the financial state of this nation's going to end up. But I can tell you for sure, on a personal level, that it would be really good for you to set some goals and in the next years get your money in order, because we cannot continue down the path that we're going. Social Security is broken. And there's no way to continue to tax you enough to fix it. The entire U.S. economy is based on you borrowing money, often that you do not have enough to pay back, living beyond your means. And when the house of cards falls, it's going to fall hard. I don't know if it will be this time. I don't know that. I'm not predicting that. But you've been warned. But you know, the most important warning of all, the most important issue of all, is God's warning to us about all of our future. Okay? All of us have a future in which we are going to have to deal with God. Whether you believe in God or not, you can use it as a convenient excuse all of your life. Just like a person in New Orleans, just like a person in Katrina, just like a person on the island of Galveston, it's not going to happen here. It's not going to happen here. And everything you own is gone. With God, listen very carefully to me. With God, there is a day of reckoning coming. God loves you and cares about you more than you can possibly imagine. So what I'm going to share with you tonight about God and about what God has to say is the most important thing you're ever going to hear. Some of you may already know it. You may already have made peace with it, come to terms with it. Some of you may have never understood it before. So we're going to read some passage tonight from the Scripture. The first is found in Luke. And Jesus was telling this story to a large crowd that had gathered around him. Remember that Jesus has come from God. Jesus validated his divine nature through the miracles that he did. The blind that saw, the deaf that heard, the lame that walked, and the dead that were raised from the dead in front of hundreds of thousands of witnesses that saw it. Jesus was not some figure in mythology, but he's every bit as historical as Abraham Lincoln. And just as people saw John Wilkes Booth shoot Abraham Lincoln in Ford Theater, people saw Jesus Christ. Just because you weren't alive to see Abraham Lincoln die does not mean he did not die the way that witnesses said he died. And just because several hundred years before that you were not alive to see Jesus raise people from the dead and make the sick well and preach what he preached and die and raise from the dead does not mean you can just poof it away because you decide it's mythology. It's not. It is the most verified fact of our history. Jesus is the most written about, sung about figure in all the world, if you combine all the literature together. The first 100 years of the printing press, all that was written about on that press was the Son of God. Jesus says in Luke chapter 16, there was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed and who lived each day in luxury. He had all the world had to give. He lived for this world. At his door lay a diseased beggar named Lazarus, a God-fearing man. And Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table. The dogs would come and lick his sores. Finally, the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels to the presence of God. The rich man also died and was buried, and his soul went to the place of the dead. There in torment, he saw Lazarus in a far distance with Abraham, the man of faith. The rich man shouted, "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in anguish in these flames." But Abraham said to him, "Son, remember that during your lifetime, you lived for the things of this world and you had everything you wanted, but Lazarus had nothing but his faith in God. So now he is here being comforted and you are in anguish. And besides, there's a great chasm separating us. Anyone who wants to cross over to you from here is stopped at the very edge, and no one can cross over." Then the rich man said, "Please, Father Abraham, send into my father's home, for I have five brothers, and I want to warn them about this place of torment so they won't come here when they die." There are two things tonight I want to talk with you about, and they lead us to a very important place. There are two things in which we ourselves lie to ourselves repeatedly about. We lie to ourselves, and the world lies to us. Evolutionists lie to us. As a human society, we lie to us about two things. There is no hell, and I won't be judged by God because there is no judgment. And even if there is a God, it'll just all be washed away in the end. He'll just make it all better, and we'll all end up in the same place anyway. Those are the two greatest lies on this planet. There is a hell. Jesus talked more about hell than heaven. There is a place where those who have chosen to rebel against God in this life go when they die, to a place where God is not, where God has no part of, because that is what they chose. And it is a place that Jesus illustrates here in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, the man who lived for the things of this world, who got ultimately punked. And when you get punked in this place, there is no getting unpunked. You're there. And this man, all of his life, here's what's interesting. All of his life, he thought of no one but himself. No one but himself. He had a beggar at his very door longing for the scraps from his table, with sores all over his body, dogs licking those sores. And he had no conscience. He had no consternation whatsoever that this man needed help. And the second thing that comes to him when he is in this place, and the harsh reality, the stark reality, that there is no escaping now, and he has nothing, is, "Please go warn my loved ones." There are no atheists in hell. It's all too late. It's all too late. Second thing that you have to realize, it's extremely important that you understand. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 1, you may be saying about these other people, "What terrible people you've been talking about, Paul. But you're just as bad, and you have no excuse. When you say they are wicked and should be punished, you are condemning yourself. For you do and think the very same things as the rest of the world. And we know that God in his justice will punish anyone who does such things. Do you think that God will judge and condemn others for doing them and not judge you when you do them too? Don't you realize how kind, how tolerant, and how patient God is with you? Or don't you care? Can't you see how kind he has been in giving you time to turn from your sin to God?" My friend, listen to me very carefully. That is why you're not dead tonight. That is why you have life. Because God is so kind, so tolerant, cares so much about you, that he's given you time. But the clock is ticking. And I am not exaggerating. It is ticking. But no, you won't listen. So you are storing up terrible judgment for yourself because of your stubbornness in refusing to turn from your sin to God. For there is going to come a day of judgment when God, the just judge of the world, will judge all people according to what they have thought and done. That day will surely come when God, through Jesus Christ, will judge everyone's secret life. That is my message. And it's no wonder Paul got stoned. It's no wonder he got whipped and beaten. Still, he would not stop because he knew the truth, and he loved the world because God loved the world. God loves the world. He loves you. He doesn't just love a planet full of people. He loves individuals. He knows every single one of you by name. He's got every hair on your head numbered. And he knows your secret life. It's as exposed to God as your public life is to your friends. He knows your thoughts, your deeds, your words. He knows them all. In Acts chapter 10, Peter is being threatened. Peter, the one who denied Christ, the one who ran from Christ from the courtyard, the one who swore and said, I never knew him, and then watched him die and watched him raise from the dead. And his life was transformed by what he witnessed. Peter spent the rest of his life laying his life right there on the edge of danger, on the edge of great suffering and torture, and was eventually crucified upside down. And he's saying to this crowd that is now gathered, and we apostles are witnesses of all that Jesus did throughout Israel and in Jerusalem. We're witnesses. We saw him. They were the CNN, the Fox News, the ABC of the ancient world. They saw him with their own eyes. And they lived to tell the story of what he did throughout Israel and throughout Jerusalem in front of thousands of people. Not in some back room somewhere, hidden somewhere, in front of thousands of people. And Jesus ordered us. God ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is ordained of God to be the judge of all the living and the dead. He is the one all the prophets testify about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 5, written by the man who just spoke those words near the end of his life, he writes this: and now you won't spend the rest of your life chasing after evil desires, but you will be anxious and eager to do the will of God. You have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy. Their immorality. Immorality is sex outside of marriage. That's immorality. There's a lot of it in our world. And lust. Their feasting. Their drunkenness. Their wild parties. And the terrible worship of idols and all their other sins. Of course your former friends are very surprised when you no longer join them in the wicked things they do. And they say evil things about you, and they make fun of you, and they ridicule. But just remember, they will have to face God, who will judge everyone, both the living and the dead. That is why the good news was preached. They will have to face God. Now we fast forward in time to the book of Revelation, written by John the Revelator, who rather than being martyred was exiled to the island known as Patmos. And God gives him a vision of that which is coming. And every single bit of it is in keeping with all that Jesus said would come in the future and all the rest of the epistles. And he writes in John, in Revelation chapter 20, and I looked and I saw a great white throne, and I saw the one who was sitting on it, and earth and sky fled from him, but they could not find a place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were open, including the book of life, and the dead were judged according to the things written in the book, according to the things they had done and the way they had lived. The sea gave up the dead in it, and death and the grave gave up the dead in them. They were all judged according to their deeds, and death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire, hell. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Please listen to me. Please. I know sometimes some of you think, Mark's just a raving lunatic. I really don't care. I care about you. And if you don't get this, If you don't get this, I don't care if you came in this room tonight and you think to yourself, these Christians, they're idiots. You try that on God when you have to look him in the eye. And you are scared out of your mind because you realize everything this raving idiot told you was true. And everything down through the ages of the countless millions who have been martyred for Christ, it was true. God loved you, and he gave his son for you. And when Jesus Christ died on that cross, it wasn't some, you know, just sick thing that the Romans did. It was God the Father making a way to rescue you. And what God the Father did was he judged his son. And he put all of your crap and all of your sin on his son. And then he judged him. And he killed him. He crushed him under the weight of your sin and my sin. The reason that song means so much to us is because that song is everything. Jesus Christ wants to rescue you from the judgment of God and from hell. See, this is why so many times Christians get so lackadaisical in their faith, or those who don't know Christ think, what's the big deal? Because no one talks about this anymore. It's so, you know, just live your best life now. Well, I can live my best life without Jesus. This is about what's coming. That's the message Peter preached. Your secret life is going to be judged, and then you are going to be found screwed. Because it's not one person. See, here's what you have to understand. There's not one human being who has ever been as righteous as Christ. I don't care if you were Mother Teresa's little sister and followed her all around. If you are trusting in your good works, in your righteousness, you are going to be so shocked on that day when you find out that in the eyes of God, your good works are like filthy, rotting rags. This is why Christianity is an absolutely exclusive religion. Why Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Because he's the only proven Son of God. He is the one God sent to pay for your sin and my sin. And he rose from the dead so that you could know that you could have eternal life. And that your sins could be forgiven. Allah cannot forgive your sins. Buddha cannot forgive your sins. Only Christ, only God can forgive your sins. This is why the Pharisees were so shocked and indignant and beside themselves when Jesus said, get up and walk, your sins are forgiven. Who has the power to forgive sin but God alone? And that's the point, guys. I'm God and you're looking at him and I'm your Messiah and I'm here. And they killed him. The Romans, the Jews, and us. It was our sin that nailed them to the cross. It was our sin. Now, the beautiful thing is, you see, the good news is that when you and I come to Christ, all of our sins are forgiven. Every lie, every immoral thought, every lustful, greedy thing, everything we've thought wrong, everything we've done wrong, our rebellion to God. I told you a few weeks ago that in the eyes of God, you know, Christians are interesting today. It's really tragic to me, these people who will go protest at soldiers' funerals with signs that say, God hates fags. No, God hates sin. And all of us have sinned. And God hates what it's doing to the human race. And I pointed out to you in the book of Romans that in the eyes of God, disobedient to parents is on the same level as perversion, sexual perversion, and immorality, and adultery, and murder. And there is not a one of us in this room who did not at some time disobey our parents. And many of us took great joy in doing so. God holds us accountable for that, you see. Unlike these Wall Street guys, listen, You may think, wow, I'm so angry, they're going to get off. Oh, no, they're not. Oh, my friends, they're not going to get off. When they lied and they deceived and they misled people, they will answer to God. They will answer to God for the pain and the hurt and the deception that they brought. They may get past these judges. They may be able to buy political favors. You don't buy God's favor. This is a beautiful thing. The Bible says God shows no favoritism, no partiality, but he welcomes all who come to him through the Son, through his Son. It's beautiful. He is an equal opportunity Savior. Does not matter what you've done, what your background is, what the color of your skin, where you've come from. We are all shut up under the umbrella of sin. We're all sinners. We've all broken God's laws. And we are fully equal in the eyes of God. And we are completely loved by God. And so God invites you and I to come to Christ. God invites us to come to him, to know him, to experience him, to be his child. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, recently I checked out a movie that I heard a lot about and I never saw. And it's called Cider House Rules. Some of the movie I liked, some of it I didn't like. But one of the things that I could relate to, and I thought every human being can relate to, is those little children in the orphanage. Especially during the beginning before Spider-Man leaves. That's what I remember his name being, Spider-Man. I forget his real name. They come and go, but you know who I mean. The guy who played Spider-Man. He's the older guy in the orphanage. And all these little kids, when a family comes, they show a couple times, they all want to look nice, they all want to be acceptable, because they all want a family. And even though they're loved in that orphanage, we all, in our heart, sense a longing to be loved, truly loved, in a way that we've never been. That's God. And the Bible says in Ephesians that it has always been God's unchanging plan to adopt us as his very own children. Now again, let me make something really clear. I've shared this once. I've shared it 1,000 times. All of us in the world are God's creation, but we are not all God's children. That is another lie that has been foisted upon people by liberal theologians. Jesus said to the Jews, the people of God, remember the Jews? You were of your father the devil, for he was a liar from the beginning, and you are just like him. God created us. We're his creatures. But you must choose of your own volition, of your own free will, when you hear and understand the offering of God, the gift of God to you. But as many as receive the gift of God, to them he gives the right, the privilege and the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. That's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. God wants you in his family. God does not want to have to judge you, but he will, because he's just if you don't embrace the rescue. I'm going to have us close our eyes here tonight and bow our heads, and I'm going to have Jeremy come on up, and I'm just going to have him lead us in a few moments in that song, Rescue. And if you could bring the screen down far enough so that we have words for people who don't know it, that would be great. But I'd like you to bow your head with me for a moment. And I know that in a room this size this evening, that there are people here who are not certain if they died tonight, like that rich man, where they'd go. You don't know that for certain. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, I was baptized when I was a kid. There's nothing wrong with that, but that won't save you. You may think, well, I got confirmed, and there's nothing really wrong with that, but that won't save you either. You may think, well, I gee, I've given money to church, to charitable organizations. I've tried to do the best I can. That won't save you either. Nothing you can do can earn God's favor. God wants to give it as a gift. It's as if I took a $20 bill out of my hand, which I have done before, out of my pocket, and I've held it up and said, who could use $20? Well, a lot of people here tonight could go, I could use $20, but whoever has the courage to walk up here and take it, you get it. It's yours. And I want you to bow your heads with me tonight. And if you're not absolutely certain that if you died, if your life, you laid your head on your pillow tonight in the morning, you woke up in eternity. If you're not certain that you know Christ, that you're going to go to heaven. If you're not certain that you are going to, because of Christ, miss the judgment of God. If you don't want to be held responsible and accountable for the things you know you've thought and done, I want to invite you tonight to invite Christ into your life to be your Savior. All you need to do is simply say with your heart, with genuine sincerity, Lord, what He said tonight deeply resonates with my soul. I don't care what I've heard before. I know that I've sinned. I know that I've broken your laws. And I believe that you died for me. And I want you to be my Savior. I invite you to come in my life and save me. I need you to rescue me from myself, from my sin, from hell, from judgment. Jesus, save me. The Bible says all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's sing this song together.